Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to this energetic, wonderful woman that we have here today. Her name is Christine Baumgartner, and she is from The Perfect Catch, and I could not love that name more.
Thanks, Brooke. It's so fun to be here. I love the idea of talking to this very specific audience that listens to your show. I hope that they get some helpful and hopeful, because I think people don't feel very hopeful about dating sometimes. So I want it to be helpful, because if it's helpful, they will feel hopeful.
Oh, I love that. So before we dive into everything that you have to share and all of your insights, let's give a little bit of your background, a little bit of your origin story for our beautiful audience here.
Well, I was my first client, and I was married at 18 and divorced at 32, dated like a crazy person. It was so fun. I tell people I did puberty in my 30s and 40s because I hadn't done it before that. And I had lots of dates. I had lots of fun. Guys were lovely, lovely, lovely. But my friends would ask me, what did I think? And I said, you know, they're nice. I never in all my time, I'm now a widow, I'm dating again. I still have not had an awful date ever. And I date a lot.
Oh my, how lucky.
I am, because I'm really guy friendly. Men, like, if they're not intimidated by what I do, they find I'm a really fun date. And I kept saying, but I wouldn't marry them. But that was fine, because I really didn't want to get married then. I knew, I really had some sense that I'd marry the person that I did before, which he wasn't bad. We were just not for each other. So then in my turned 50, I said, I really want to be married, because I liked being married. So then online dating had come out a couple years before, so a girlfriend and I joined, and now I had even more dates and really interesting, again, fun men. But I still kept saying I wouldn't marry them, so I had to really think, well, if I'm saying out loud I want to marry, why wouldn't I marry them? And so I noticed that the trait that they all, I live in a huge metropolitan area. I live 15 minutes from Disneyland. I was a party planner. I worked with people that had lots of discretionary income. And I very successfully over and over dated men that made a lot of money and had no money to show for it. They had no savings, no retirement. We'd go on these great vacations. I'd save up for mine. I'd say, how do you do that? And they'd say, oh, you know, those credit card forms, they come and I fill out another and I just take it up to its limit. And it didn't bother them at all. But I could not have been tied to somebody that didn't have the financial responsibility I did. And I thought, well, that's really weird, because why would I date people like that? So some therapy and some soul searching, I figured out that was my father and my ex-husband. And I went, oh, that's who I'm used to. I know how to be with them. Maybe that's all I could ever have. How would I ever qualify for somebody that has money? So I did a bunch of work and I came up with this personal process for myself. And once I did all that, the next man that sat across the table from me made money and had money when I asked him the vacation question. Of course, he had saved up for it. I was like, really? I have control? Of course I have control over me, not them. So I said, well, what's the next thing I wouldn't marry about the men that I... And I worked on that inside of me. So I didn't change me. I grew. I grew from that person who had been young and hadn't really consciously thought. I tell people, I call this consciously dating. So then one of my very favorite stories about my late husband is we met in October of 2005, and he asked me to go on a cruise in March of 2006, and on that with his daughter and her friend. And on the cruise, he gave me two presents I would have never asked for. One was diamond stud earrings, and the other was his credit report. And I'm like, why? I mean, I never would have asked. I mean, I was trying to find out, but he said, well... And I'd been redoing my profile as I was growing and altering my thoughts. I would redo my profile because I'd see, oh, I see why a man's attracted to that. Oh, I need to make my shopping list different. He said, I see that you are a very responsible person and you want a responsible person in your life. And I want you to see I am because I'm falling in love with you. So I had been telling my friends what I was doing and they said, well, show us. And I go, I don't know if this is going to work for other people. It just worked for me. And it turned out they were meeting people that were more to their liking. So then when I married my lovely late husband, they said, you know, you should probably tell other people besides just your friends. So I've now had been a professional coach for 15 years. And a really serendipitous thing that happened too was that first year, like within months, a friend reached out to me and said, you know that John Gray, the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, is looking for telephone coaches. So I went through their interviewing process. I got hired. I became one of their top coaches. I flew to Northern California and made videos with them. And I did that for my first 2 years. So it gave me this amazing foundation to really understand the idiosyncrasies between men and women, how to coach people and listen to the nuances of their voices. Because most of my coaching's on the phone or on Zoom, because I have people all over the United States and even in other countries, which is fun to learn dating cultures from other places.
Oh, so, my goodness. And dating culture, there is so much there. I'm going to tell you a story that I've heard from a lot of my female friends. It's certainly a story that I had, is in our university years, we're young. We always think it's going to be easy to meet someone. And sometimes if we go to university, we're in a space where there are lots of men, there are lots of women. It's easy to feel, what's wrong with me? Why have my best friend found someone? Why has my coworker found someone, but not me? So let's discuss dating culture as it relates to college campuses. Yes. What do you think of it?
Well, the best news is you really are surrounded by your target market. You have people that are interested in their education, mostly. Not some people, their parents made them, but most people want to learn more, end up doing something more wonderful with their life. They also are probably close to your age. You know, you're really in a great place. You're in the best apartment for people that should be. But even now, and people in my age group a lot think, well, everybody should just know how to date. Turns out not very many people know how to date because nobody teaches them. You're going to college to learn a profession. You went to lower grades to learn to get to college. You know, nobody knew how to do math and science and reading and writing. So why don't people think that they need to learn this? And I have a darling new client. He's 29. And he said, well, I have a business coach and a sports coach. Why shouldn't I have a dating coach? I don't know how to do this. And I said, that is the right attitude because it doesn't mean there's anything wrong. You're just uneducated about dating. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know, and you don't assume you know. And the way that we find out we don't know is we make a bunch of errors.
And we like to avoid that. So let's think about our target young people here. What wisdom would you impart about dating? What would be the very first thing you'd say?
So where I start with everybody, no matter their age, everybody that I talk to, you need to start out with a really clear list, which sounds kind of boring, but when you go pick your classes, you look at the classes, you probably find out who likes what teacher. You really have had some discretion about what classes you're going to take. Some you have to take because you don't want to, but you have to take it anyway, but that's not dating. So you fill out a list, and the four categories I use are mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And you need to come up with words that describe the traits. Just a word that fill out as many words as you can in those categories that describe the traits of what you really need and want in a relationship. Now, if you've been dating and some of it hasn't turned out well, you might start with the other list, which is what you don't want. And people say, why do I want to write that down? I said, well, one, because you don't want it again. So it's good to write it down. So you go, oh yeah, remember, don't do that. The other thing is you're going to use that what I can't have list to make sure you say, what would I like instead on the what would you like list? Because everybody tells me, I'm just going to know it when I see it. Well, how's that working for you? Don't I sound like Dr. Phil? So now you've got and lots of people, especially in my age group, start with the what they don't want because they've had enough of that. So write it all out. but then cancel it by writing what you would like instead. Then you have a list of what would be nice. You know what? It don't have to have this, but it would be great. Write it down. Because if you're going to go shopping, we're going to really use that word, you really need to know, what's the thing I have to have? I have to have shoes that fit, probably, but they could be a variety of colors. I'm going to look at different heel heights, but I have to have ones that fit. So that's the must have and the would like to have. Then the fourth list that's really hard for women often, you get to brag about you. Who are you and why are you a catch? Why would somebody be so fortunate to be in a relationship with you? And the women that have some trouble with it, tends to happen a lot in my age group, I say, go ask your best friend, the one who has your back, the one that adores you, the one that loves you madly, has everything that they want best for you. And then you're not allowed to edit. Write down every single thing they say, even if you don't think you agree, because you know they're not BSing you. And this is how you approach dating, is with this wonderful information. Oh, so now you go back to the words and you turn each of, first you get a priority. What's the most important thing that you have to have in a relationship that you cannot live without 10, 9, 8, because everything can't be a 10. You can have a couple 10s. And then you need to turn them into sentences. You can't just say, I want somebody honest, because that's different for everybody. You can't, everybody says, oh, I want somebody funny. We do not all have the same sense of humor at all. So write down what kind of things that you laugh at, what kind of humor you like, what kind of banter you like. I mean, I'm really sensitive, so I can't do all kinds, but I have friends that are just, oh my God, they're just brutal when they talk to each other, and it works for them. So now you have this, and you've done paragraphs about yourself. So now you have all this great information. If you're ever going to write a profile, there it is. I take all that information and help people write profiles. If you're going to write a profile, tell a story about yourself and who the person is. But now when you're meeting people, you can say, the first time I'm going to be in somebody's presence, what are these top thing, three things they have to have? Do they have to be interested in family? Do they have to be interested in travel? Do they have to be interested in higher education? And then you start out with, I'm curious questions. So right now, if family was really important to you, and here we are approaching the holidays, you would say, gosh, you know, I always make sure I go home for the holidays and spend time with my family. And this is kind of a couple of the traditions we do. Tell me about yours. Because the point of it is not to see if they're your forever person, because that's too much pressure. It's first, are they interesting? So the first thing you're doing is you're learning about you. What helps me be comfortable talking to a new person? Do I have to wear something special? I have people that wear talismans, whether they're inside their clothes, that make them feel powerful and strong. I picture Wonder Woman boots all the time because she's my fave. So you think, how can I be the most comfortable talking to new people in a group or one-on-one? And keep working on it. Be really conscious of, oh, I'll be more prepared with that next time. And wow, I did really good with that. And then now you're concentrating. So your three goals. Your first goal is, what am I going to learn about me while I'm talking to a person or new people? And then what am I going to learn about them? Be curious. Just be curious. I have met lots of men that I did not want to see a second time, but I have to tell you, they were interesting. They were doing interesting things. Their ex-wives and kids were doing interesting things. It was always a fascinating conversation, even if they weren't my person, even for a second time. So if you go open with that and say, oh my God, it's so discouraging, they're never my person, they're interesting people. So now you say, what's made me comfortable? Your goal, if you reach that, you've learned things about you. Now you've learned about the other person, whether you want to see them or not. Money back guarantee, you've reached your first two goals of talking to another person. Now your third goal, and it's really three, the third one, you have to do these first. Do you want to spend more time with them? Do you want to stay part of this group? You could even just write a club or a study group or a person. Do I want to know more about them? Do I feel comfortable? Do I feel like they listen to me? Do they care about me? They want to know more about me? Boy, this is how I felt with my late husband. I wasn't physically attracted to him initially. I could not wait to spend more time with them the second time and the third time and the fourth time, because I loved how I felt with him. I love how I felt comfortable. He was so interested in me and that he was such an interesting person. And so I know that this really works. And so when you leave, whether or not you want to see him a third time, you've done these two really important things and you've grown, you've learned. And if you do it, then people tell me, you know, all of a sudden dating's fun. I didn't think it was fun before. I thought it was work. I thought it was awful. I go, it can be so fun if you do it this way. I mean, there you are in the place where you're supposed to be learning stuff anyway. Now you can make dating one of your classes. You know, you can air quotes classes and you're studying yourself and another person. And do this with friends too, because I have a whole system that I teach my clients called Dating for Friends, where you decide how close they get to be to you. You can't just let everybody have access to your heart. Doesn't make them a bad person. They're just not your close person. And that way you can moderate where they are and you stay upright. You know, I was the kind of person who let everybody in all the time without any filtering and got my feelings hurt a lot. So I learned in my 40s, so I get to teach you all earlier than that, how to stop doing it that way. And I had much better people in my life and I was much happier with the people that were in my life.
Absolutely. I love everything you said. And dating is such a difficult, challenging thing for so many people because they're not familiar with who they are. And I know that I've been through this personally. What is your advice for someone to get more comfortable and more intimate with themselves? Because not only do we want to go on dates with interesting people, it's so important to be that interesting person, to be that enticing person, to be that inspiring person. So how do we become that?
So start with the list. Write about yourself or have your friends. And then I say, take the top three things, whatever the top three things that you really do believe, and you stick it on your bathroom mirror. And every time you brush your teeth, before you brush your teeth, you read them out loud. Your brain has no filtering. Even if you really don't believe it, your brain doesn't know that. It believes all the shit you tell it, so it'll believe the good things. The other thing is find something that you're really passionate about. Hobby, an interest, something you would do it all day long if you could. And make sure that's part of your life every day. Giving back to something, learning something, talking to somebody about it. Because what you love already, I could talk for hours about this subject. I started studying it 35 years ago just because I thought it was the most fascinating thing about how men and women miscommunicate and how much I really liked guys and women were hard for me and why was that? And I really learned a lot by just studying and asking, and it was fascinating. So whatever it is, animals, the world, ecology, climate, I mean, I don't care what it is, find something. Because then when somebody asks you, because men were going to do this, and I thought it was a lazy, terrible question, tell me about yourself, I didn't like it at all. But I'm going to tell you, I tell women all the time, they're both men and women do weird, we think they're weird, but there's such a good reason that makes so much sense to them. And they don't do it to misbehave. We just misunderstand each other. So men have learned the hard way that you can't ask the same question with every woman, because somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. Somebody's going to think you're boring. Somebody's going to like it, but you don't know. There's not like signs about who we are. So they would much rather go, tell me, because they really want to learn. They really do, but they don't want to get you all fried up when they're first talking to you. So it's really honoring. It's a lovely question. I really had to learn. It's really a lovely question. So be prepared. This is the thing I am so passionate about in my life. And they'll go, and they'll be excited to hear. And passion and self-confidence is very attractive from both sides. And then you get to ask them, tell me what was the most interesting thing you learned this week? I mean, in college, aren't you learning something? I ask this question all the time of people. Or one of, you can, there's a whole bunch of ways you can do questions from the internet. Like one of the questions I've used lately is, what's the thing that people misunderstand about you all the time?
Now that's a really good question. And with question asking, as somebody who is a professional question asker, we have to stay curious. And if we're going to a date on autopilot, if we're communicating on autopilot and we're not present and we're not there, people are going to feel that.
The point of being there is to learn about yourself and learn about them. So there's no autopilot in any of that. You need to keep consciously thinking, how am I doing? And learning about this person. Because I have found that sometimes somebody tells me something on a date that they're not my person, but 2 weeks later, I meet somebody that needs their business. Or they would like each other not to date. I've never, in all my 15 years, I've never hooked people up dating, but I've certainly done lots of networking. So if you go curious, because that's how I found about people's money, was asking about vacation. I mean, how benign is that question? Nobody knew I was asking about their money when I'd ask them about how they planned a vacation. So when you think, these are the things I need to find out, I need to find out, do they like to travel? What are they going to do for a job? You know, how often do they change jobs? And you're, what you're doing is saying, how does this feel for me? Do I want to spend more time with somebody like this? They're not bad. Are they my person? So if you ask these interesting questions and you are give interesting answers to their questions, you'll never not have a good time.
If you are going to give three pieces of advice that can be related to things you've already said, it could be related to things, unrelated to things that you've said, what would those three pieces of advice about dating, about connecting, about meeting people for university students be?
Boy, at this period in your life, really explore who you are. Be honest. When I get mad, I need to go do something. Be so honoring and excited about who you are. You might not be this forever. You are this today. Who are you today? What kinds of things do you like doing? How do you get up in the morning, go to sleep at night, things you like to talk about, so that you are clear about the majority of time you want to spend with people who at least think it's okay, if not get excited about it. Really clear. I mean, this is such a perfect time in your life. It was my 40s when I was single and dating men who were great teachers. That's when I started learning this. I would have loved to have learned it in my 20s or 30s. The second thing is, be tolerant, be open-minded, be curious. Put judgmental. I can be very judgmental, but it's very on the back burner. First, I keep saying, tell me more about that. Boy, that's so different than me. I want to understand. First, I just want to understand. Like right now with the political climate, tell me why we're so different. I want to hear. I want to hear what you've done to figure it out. I don't just want to hear what Facebook or I want to hear you tell me your belief, why this lands for you. Even if I totally disagree, I'm fascinated why you believe this. That's so different from me. So in anything, just keep being curious. And then you get to step back and go, could I be close friends with this person? Probably not, because I'm not sure we could ever have any conversation. So first you're learning about you, then you're staying curious about other people. And then don't stay if it's not good. Three times. You see somebody three times. Because, you know, we're all nervous and trying to be on our best behavior. And who knows, you know, guys, before they meet me, they go like, oh my God, I should have just sat down because I put my foot in my mouth and I needed to put my other foot in my mouth. It was so bad. I didn't know what I was doing. So I give them grace. Unless there's something totally off-putting. And in that vein, I have to give a caveat, since I said I wasn't physically attracted to my husband, especially for women. I know we all want to have chemistry, we want to have connection, but what happens for women almost always, and not for men generally, is the cuter they are, the more chemistry we have, the less we are our authentic selves. We have this hormone fog that arrives. We put on rose-colored glasses. You cannot see red flags if you have on rose-colored glasses. And the saddest part about that is you will not have good judgment. And men like us being our authentic selves. Women, you all know this. There's the guy that really likes you. And you know, I mean, you like him as a friend, but you would never like him more. He likes you because you're being your authentic self around him, because you don't give a shit what he thinks. You'll show up with no makeup. You'll have different, more challenging, hard conversations, where if the guy's really cute, you're like, well, maybe I can't say that. I can't do that. I can't wear that. If you feel that way, turn around and leave, because you're never going to be your authentic self with that person because they're too cute. The cute is overshadowing. Now, if you practice this, I promise if you practice this, you can now have a conversation with the cute guy and not go crazy. But you can't do it in the beginning till you've practiced being your most authentic self. Practice with guys that aren't your type. Be nice to them. Be friendly with them. What's really helpful is to talk to guys that, God, I really had to think, and I say this because in my age group, it's fine. You tell me if you could do this. I tell women, talk to men that aren't available. But you talk to them when the girl's there and you ask them for help. Gosh, would you get that thing off the shelf for me? And then you look at the woman and say, what a nice guy. You chose really well. So you're not flirting. You're not trying to get him, but you're practicing being honest and open and asking for help and sharing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Could you do that in your age group?
I know I'm a little older than these people. I think that I could. I think that we all just have to use good judgment. We have to use common sense. And I also meant to say this in the beginning, and I did not always be safe when we're dating people, when we're meeting new people. As someone who has had safety concerns, use your best judgment if your gut is off, if your intuition is off. So no matter what, listen to this advice and also take into acknowledgement how your body feels and how your gut feels. If you do feel that someone is unsafe, even if they have all of these perfect and wonderful attributes, you must listen to that.
And that's where that hormone thing happens. We are the only mammal that doesn't run from danger because they're cute.
Yes, we are. And as somebody who's been there, we don't want to do that. So we want to make sure we always use our best judgment and we always keep our safety in the forefront of our mind. And that is for men and women. Is there a quote or a mantra or a song that you use to inspire yourself in the dating realm?
I believe in love. I really do. All the things that have happened to me in my life, it makes me emotional. I Can't Help Falling in Love was a song my husband used to sing to me a cappella. He had a beautiful voice. And for years, I could hear it in three notes and hysterical. The crazy Asian wedding, they play it at the wedding scene. And I've got my girlfriend's hand and I'm cutting off her circulation. The tears are pouring down my face. That doesn't happen. Last couple of times it's come on and I go for something and I'll go, oh, thanks. I'm not hysterical anymore. But I believe in love. I mean, really, because our world would be better if we believed and had discretion. That's the thing. Use your God-given discretion. You're not saying somebody's, there are bad people, but you're not necessarily saying they're bad. You're just saying, not somebody that needs to be close to me. I'll be my best person without them. You want to find the person, your best person with them. Because when you let them go, they're going to find their best person that brings the best out in them and they being the best. Because I've had so many men come through my life and I'm like, well, you're going to be so good for somebody that's not me.
Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful too. It's that act of letting go is going to help you become more of you. Oh, Christine, this conversation is so juicy. As we wrap up, let's say somebody's inspired by you. They want to learn more about you. Where can they go?
Thank you for asking, because I do offer a complimentary conversation, one-on-one, private, just with me for free. So my website is www.theperfectcatch.com. And about halfway down, you'll see what's holding you back from love questionnaire. Just click on it. There's 10 brief questions that say, where are you? Where do you think you'd like to be? And then you have access to my calendar to schedule that. The other thing that you could get all sorts of free information is if you scroll to the bottom of that homepage, you'll see all my social media icons. And on the far right is YouTube. And I've been doing a podcast every Thursday live with a guy coach that we're getting close to 200 that you could look up all sorts of. People tell me they binge.
I kind of like the binging. So you can go learn from her if you love her juicy energy. I know I love her energy. You can go binge her energy some more, guys.
And then you're also welcome to send me a personal email, which is christine@theperfectcatch.com. You have questions or you say, Brooke, she should be interviewed again and answer this question.
Yes, well, we do have guests back on sometime. So maybe that's something that we should do. If you guys love Christine, you definitely need to let me know. Christine, thank you so much for being here, for sharing all of your insight, all of your vulnerability. It's so appreciated.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.